Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So tonight I have a message that has been on my heart, and I'm going to share this with you. Tomorrow, don't miss tomorrow, I'm going to continue with where I left off last week. And I think it's going to shock you at what is going to take place in the story of Korah. So don't miss it. Because it's going to be epic. Everybody say epic. It may not be what you expect, so don't miss out. Amen. All right, so tonight we're going to pick up in a very, very familiar story. And I believe the Lord has a powerful message for us in this. Let's go to Judges 6. We'll read 1 to 3 and I'll talk a little bit about what's going on here. And then see where the Lord leads us tonight. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. Out of the book of Judges 6, which is really the story of Gideon. Judges 6, verse 1 to 3. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Everybody say 7 years. God had made the children of Israel promises. He wanted the children to inherit everything that he had for them. But I want you to see that when you do evil in the sight of the Lord, it can cost you even 7 years. Now, the reason why this happened to them was not because the enemy, not because of anything that anybody else did. This was their own doing. The Bible says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so for 7 years, the Midianites had basically come upon them, attacked them, and they were heavily oppressed. And verse number 2 says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was that whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come also, would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. So not only was it the Midianites that were attacking the children of Israel, but it was also the Amalekites and all the nations of the east would come up against Israel. And Israel was a small nation, and a small nation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But you'll see how there was a great army that was rising up against the children of Israel, and they'd come to a place. How many of you have ever gotten yourself into a little bit of trouble? You get to a place where you realize, listen, I kind of feel a little small. I'm not really making much of an effect anymore. I've kind of lost my way a little bit. And you even begin to question, you say to yourself, well, you know, is the Lord still with us? Because, you know, he's used us in the past. He's done great and mighty things before. And I'm sure the children of Israel must have thought, you know, well, has God forsaken us? Has he left us? No, God hadn't left them, but he caused them to go into, or allowed them to go into an oppressive situation so that someday they would bring themselves out of it. Are you with me? Remember, everything in our lives, there is one word that will be connected to everything that happens to you, and that is choice. You have a choice. What you do with the word of God and the promises of God will affect the outcome of your life. In other words, if you don't receive God's word for what it is, you'd rather change it because you don't agree or because you don't think it is what it says it is. Well, unfortunately for you, that's not going to work. Because God's word is his word and there's nothing else to it. That's simple. It's just, it is what it is. And so we have to obey his word. The children of Israel disobeyed his word and they got themselves into this situation. Did God remove his promises? Did God change his mind? No. God still wanted to use them. God still wanted to bless them. God still wanted to fulfill his promises. There was just a 7-year delay. I know what that's like, okay? I've had that delay before. Don't want to do that again. That's why now when I mess up, I go, Lord, please forgive me right away. I go to him right away. But repentance doesn't mean I repent and then get up and then do the same thing again. Or continue in the same problem or the same thing that I've done. Repentance means I go the other way. So if this is my problem, if this is the area that's caused me a problem, once I've repented, I don't say, sorry, Lord, and then go and then pick it up again. I go the other direction. Is that okay? So God does something amazing. And you find if we're going to jump to Judges 6:12, the whole story, I don't want to focus too much on Gideon in the wine press, but basically Gideon is one of these that's now hiding in the wine press. He's in one of these places that he shouldn't be. He's threshing wheat in a place of hiding. That's really what's busy happening. And so you must understand that his attitude is like this. You know, in the past, I would have read this and gone, Gideon was a sissy. Does anyone know what a sissy is? Okay. But the truth is, I think that the nation of Israel at this time was feeling this way because they had been oppressed. You know, they had come under attack. They felt like God wasn't with them anymore. So at this moment, Gideon is one of many that's in hiding. And the Lord comes to him. The angel of the Lord comes to him. Let's go to Judges 6, verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you." Man, right there. Forget the next part. We'll get to that in just a moment. But just the fact that he said, "Gideon, the Lord is with you." I want you to understand that even when you mess up, even when you go the wrong direction, God is still with you. He is still with you. He may be withholding what he wants to give you because you need to go the other direction. You need to change direction. You need to change course. But he is still with you. The Bible says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Oh, I'm going to upset some people. But you know, the Bible tells us that no one can take us out of his hands. But I want you to know, he will never violate your own will. You can walk away. I'm going to say that again. He will never violate your own free will. You can walk away. And what happens is people end up sometimes, unfortunately, going their own way. And then they go further away. And they go further away. And then they get into real trouble. And that's what we really pray that happens to nobody, because that is one of the worst things. I've seen it happen. We don't want that. Amen. Now, thank God Gideon wasn't anywhere near there. But he comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you." I think in this moment, Gideon's thinking, God has forgotten us. He's not protecting us. The enemy's attacking us and they're succeeding. They are having their way. He's thinking this is not possible. But so the first thing the angel of the Lord says to him is, "Gideon, the Lord is with you." Come on, somebody in this place, maybe you feel like the Lord has left you. Maybe you feel like things are not going quite the way they should be. Maybe you think that God has forgotten you. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, he has not forgotten you. He is still with you. And then he's about to reveal to him who he is in the future. Because if you really look at it, just from a common sense point of view, at that moment, there is nothing mighty about him. The Bible says that it says to him, "You mighty man of valor." Put the scripture up for me, please. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now listen, when we finish the story, you will say, "Man, Gideon was a mighty man of valor." But at that moment, there was nothing mighty about him, and there was certainly no valor in him, because he's in a wine press and he's busy threshing wheat in hiding. Are you with me? But the Lord comes and tells him, "I have not forgotten you. I am still with you." I'm convinced there was more dialogue, but this is all that was able to be given to us, which is all that we need. So we don't know exactly what he continued to say to him, but they were having this conversation. The Lord's busy speaking to him, letting him know that, "I have a plan for you, Gideon. I'm going to use you, Gideon. I have not just not been with, I'm still with you, but I'm also going to use you in the future." And the response from Gideon is so common. What I mean by that is that so what we tend to do. Go to the next verse for me, please. And Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" Let's stop right there. Sometimes when things go wrong, we have a tendency to say, "Really, God?" Or you'll even question yourself, "Could God really be with me? Because if he was really with me, how come all of this stuff has happened? How come have I gotten to this place?" Let me remind you, you did it to yourself. Very, very often, I can't say always, but very, very often, It is our own things that we do that cause us to get ourselves into a mess. Let's put that scripture up for me, please. Then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from the land of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The truth is that God did not deliver them into the hands of the Midianites. Again, they did it to themselves. But God shook things up to cause them to go back in the right direction. You see, God loves you so much, he will not let you stay in that mess. That's why sometimes things happen, confrontation, whatever it is, will happen, so that you can get shaken. Now you must make a choice. What are you going to do? Amen? Amen. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And this is what I love so much. Have I not sent you? At this moment, Gideon must be thinking, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, guys, but I'm trying to make it as easy to understand as possible. We've been defeated by this giant army. We've been oppressed. It doesn't feel like the Lord's with us. The angel of the Lord comes and says, listen, I'm with you. Don't worry. I'm sure the encounter must have been something unbelievable. Can you all agree? But then he says to him, he says, listen, you're going to go and I'm going to cause you from the hand. You're going to go and you will deliver the children of Israel. And then he says, have I not sent you? In other words, he's saying, listen, Gideon, this is going to happen and I don't want you to worry about it. In other words, I don't want you to fear. Why should you not fear? You should not fear because I am the one who has sent you. Ooh, that's good right there. Because I am the one who has sent you, Gideon. Listen, when God has a plan for your life, when he is taking you in a direction, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the cave. It doesn't matter how long you've been oppressed. When he comes and he visits you and he says, I'm going to take you through. I'm going to get you to the other side. You're going to fulfill the purpose and the plan that I have for you. I am with you and I have sent you. Listen, there is no devil, there is no accusation, there is no lie, there is nothing the enemy can do to stop you. Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap and a shout in this place. And then he says, so he said to him, Gideon said to the angel of the Lord, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. In other words, I can't do it. I'm the weakest. I'm not able. Don't you know what I did? Don't you know what I said? Don't you know, Lord? What he's really saying is, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm terrified. I know what that army looks like. I can't do it. Go get someone a little better than me. Go get someone a little mightier than me. Go get someone a little stronger than me. That's why God said, you mighty man of valor. Because he knows what's in you. He knows what he's deposited inside you. He knows the plans he has for you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Verse 16, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Oh, this is so powerful. Because you see, what's happened is, because the children of Israel have been put on the run, fear has come upon them. And the angel of the Lord says, listen, Gideon, you will defeat the enemy as one man. In other words, you will come at the enemy with one mind, with one heart, with one vision, with one purpose, and you will strike him down in unity and in oneness. Are you with me, guys? This is so powerful. Because you can imagine that the camp of the children of Israel, have got all kinds of, unfortunately, emotions and feelings, and they're not sure. They have doubt. They have all this stuff going on. And God says, listen, you guys have been oppressed for 7 years. It's time for you to come out of this. I'm going to appoint this man. He's going to take you out of this, but I want you to do it as one man. I want you to do it in one spirit. I want you to have one attitude. You cannot come and try and defeat this army with fear. Amen. All right. So let's jump to Judges 7. Now watch. The story's going to begin with where he's about to go on this mission to defeat the Midianites. And you're going to find out just how powerful and how mighty this army really is. But remember, God wants Gideon to take the army of Israel as one man, and he wants them to have one spirit, and he wants to show them who is still in control. I had a plan for you. I said to you I would take you out of the land of Egypt, that you would inherit the promise. I'm going to show you, children of Israel, my people, my children, that I will deliver you, and I will do what seems impossible. All you have to do is obey, and do not be afraid. Are you with me? Watch this now. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod. So they camped, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Now I want you to know the word there, Herod, means fear in the Hebrew. So they basically have camped in the valley of fear. And they're about to take on this incredible army. They're about to face and step out of where they've been for 7 years. And it's interesting how the Bible has this way of names, or just something phenomenal and unbelievable in the Bible, that they've basically come to the place where they have to face their fear. They have to face their fear. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Listen, many times, sometimes when we get into a situation where there's pressure or suffering or the enemy has come against us, we want to deal with it in our own strength. We think if we come up with some clever strategy, with some clever plan, that we'll be able to get ourselves out of the mess. Sometimes the best thing you can do when the enemy comes against you is completely surrender to God. Sometimes the best thing you can do is wait. I tell you, I have been amazed how I've watched God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says, you will raise up a standard against him. No, that's not what it says. The Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will raise up a standard against him. So why are you trying to do it? Why are you trying to defend yourself? Why are you trying to stand up? Listen, when the enemy comes in like a flood, and God has a plan, and God has a purpose, he will raise up a standard against him. And nobody will get the glory. Nobody will take the praise. Nobody's going to say it was my strategy. It was my ability. It was my talent. It was my great gifting. No, the Lord's the only one who will raise up the standard against him to deliver you from that situation. Man, I think this is good. You guys are not that excited. Now watch this, because this is about to blow your mind. It blew my mind. Now therefore, proclaim in the hearing, verse number 3. Proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful, so let's get rid of those who are afraid. Let's give them an option. Now, I want you to just kind of like imagine this. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. Now, You might say, oh, these guys, they're a bunch of babies. I would have gone and done it. We're talking about an army that the Bible will describe that's like the locusts and the sand on the sea. I mean, we're talking as far as the eye can see. This is a monstrous army. So God says, listen, I want you to go and speak to the children of Israel. And anyone who is afraid, I want you to tell them they don't have to come down and fight. So God goes and speaks to 32,000. We'll read it in just a moment. And only 10,000 of the soldiers say, listen, I'm not afraid. I'm going to go down with you. So an army of 32,000 against, we don't know the number exactly, but it was probably anything into the possibly hundreds of thousands. We don't know. Not only the Midianites, but the Amalekites and all the armies of the east are about to come against them. And God says, listen, 32,000 is too much. Let's start where I was speaking about and deal with fear first. Let's deal with fear first. Whoever fears, you can leave. Again, I say to you and I challenge you because I know we have this tendency to be very macho and say, well, if it was me, I would just do it. Would you really? Would you really? You don't even trust God that he'll deliver you at night from the boogeyman. That's why we must deal with fear. Fear must be dealt with. Fear has no place in your life. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. We don't have to fear. Why do we not have to fear? Because if he is for us, who can be against us? If he is with you, no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. It doesn't matter how big the army is. It doesn't matter how great the attack is. If he is for you, you will stand. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. I think Gideon must have been thinking, God, really? You know what I mean? Can't you just let us have the 10,000? Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. And so we know from Scripture that there are two groups of people. The one group of people will go down to the water and they will kind of drink a little bit sort of like rough, you know, just kind of stick their head in the water, just kind of be very, very unmannered like. And then the other group will go and actually lap the water with their hand and drink. And so there's a separation, and God tells him to separate the two groups. And in verse number 7, the Bible tells us that then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you. So there were 300 men who lapped in the way that God wanted to choose. I don't think really the actual format makes any difference, to be very honest with you. But God knew that 300 would do this, and the rest would do that. 9,600. Are you with me? So now the army is 300 people. At this point, I don't know about you, but you better have faith, brother. You better have some major faith right now. Because we're talking about an army of 32 that was being heavily oppressed, heavily attacked, heavily defeated, where they would even try and grow crops and the enemy would come and take their crops. They had nothing. They had to go hide in threshing floors. They had to go and hide inside caves. The Bible tells us that they were on the run. Now God says, listen, I'm taking away your army because I want to show you who's in control. Children of Israel, you decided to do things your way, but I'm still in control. I don't want you to fear, and I want you to know that I'm still with you. That I'm going to take you and I'm going to deliver you. And not only am I going to do it, but I'm going to do it in glorious fashion. Because I'm the God of your ancestors. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same God that said I would deliver you, I will deliver you. And so he does. Are you with me? Verse number 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent away all the rest of Israel. every man to his tent and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. Right there. God comes to Gideon. He says, listen, Gideon, you've got your 300 men. Do it now. And I'm sure you would have gone, let's go. But Gideon didn't quite respond like that. Because in that moment, I don't know about you, but I can understand that Gideon must have just kind of paused for a moment and was like thinking, God, are you serious? You want me to go right now? Can't we do this in a week from now? Can't we just wait a few days? Perhaps, I don't know, but I don't know about you, but that's kind of like what I would have said. And then God says to him, and I love this, but if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say. Right there. You shall hear what they say. Listen, when the enemy attacks you, God will give you what you need to hear to give you the strength to know that you will overcome. No matter how great the attack is, no matter how bad the onslaught is, no matter what or how impossible it seems, He will give you what you need to hear so that you can continue to go forward in a situation that might seem completely impossible. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. In other words, what you're about to hear, I want you to know that that will give you everything you need to be able to go and face the enemy. This great army that I'm asking you to face, what you're about to hear, and you will know that you can overcome. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley. I love that. God wants you to know, listen, we're not just talking about one army. We're not just talking about two armies. We're talking about a mighty army. And then he goes on and he says, numerous as the locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitudes. And a lot of those camels were ridden on by warriors. Not all of them, but a lot of them were. In other words, this was no small army. And so Gideon, the Bible says in verse 13, and when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. And he said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else. Now, in other words, he's giving the interpretation. This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hands, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. So Gideon's listening to this dream. He's listening to the interpretation of the dream. And in the interpretation of the dream, the soldier that's there says, listen, that dream, what it means is that the armies of God, the armies of Israel and Gideon, they're going to come against us and they're going to win. Now again, please hear me out, guys. I want you to always try and think in a way that is practical. Don't always try to over-spiritualize everything, because again, we'll think to ourselves, right, this is it. I got what I need. Let's go. No, Gideon has a choice. In that moment, what is he going to do with the word that he has heard? In other words, when you know that the Bible says that he's with you, when you know that the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what the enemy throws at you, when you begin to read the word and see that, listen, this attack, the Bible says he'll protect you from it. The Bible says there'll be a way out from it. Let me ask you a question. What will you do with the word? Are you going to believe it? Are you going to take it? Or are you going to doubt? Because I believe this is the moment. This is the moment where we see whether Gideon is a mighty man of valor or not. It's right here where he has a decision to either believe this word. Listen, it's a dream. I don't know, many times I hear dreams and go, brother, that ain't from the Lord right there. Now, I believe that the Lord told him to go, so he had a confidence. I believe that up until this point, the Lord had been with him, so he had a confidence. But still, just think about it practically. Oh, well, you know, Pastor Alex, you're being ridiculous. He knew exactly. He knew. Listen, an army of locusts and camels into the distance, and you've got 300 men, and you hear a guy say that, listen, you know, the dream means this. It sounds really good, but you still have a choice. You still have to make a decision. And this is where Gideon steps up and makes that decision. And his response is shocking to me. Verse 15. And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. In that moment, he had a choice. He heard the word. He could either worry about it, be afraid, but instead, he chose to worship. Instead, he chose to say, I believe it, Lord. I believe your word. I believe that you will deliver us. I believe you are the same God that delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. I believe you will deliver us at this word, Father, and I have a boldness and a confidence, and when you worship, you surrender. And so he fully gives himself to God. Instead of panicking and thinking and strategizing, he falls down and begins to worship. Let me tell you something, guys. When the enemy attacks you, when you're in fear, when you don't know what to do, I can tell you now, instead of strategizing, planning, and thinking about all the different things you should do, just worship. Just go into the secret place. Shut the door and go to the Father. Listen, he wants to have relationship with you. I have seen in my walk with God, every time I try to fight the battle, I end up coming short or taking the long road or really struggling. But when I surrender, when I choose to worship in that moment, I don't have to defend myself from anything. The Lord will defend me. He is my defender. He has given me a word. He has told me the direction I must go. I will not waver from that word. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, I choose to worship. When the enemy attacks me, I choose to worship. And if we can get ourselves to that place where we make a decision to worship, no matter how bad it is, I want you to know that you have just said to the Lord, Lord, from this moment forth, that you have said you will do, Father, go and do it on my behalf. Go and do what you have said, Lord. Go and do what you have said you would do. And so we see what's about to happen. And it's going to be really good. Man, don't you just love the word of God? He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hands. Listen, he doesn't go and say, listen, we have to go into battle and overcome the Midianites. No, he goes and he said, it's already done. It's already happened. That's why the walls of Jericho came down, because it had already been done. You see, in the realm of the Spirit, it had already been done. And faith is what activates what God is about to do in your life. When you believe, when you believe, when you make a decision and say, I believe. He could have gone and said, listen, I heard what they said. We're going to be okay. But no, he went and he said, it is done. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. And I love this so much. Look at me. In other words, let me be your example. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. And when I blow the trumpet, listen, I don't know about you, but I'm about to go into a huge battle and blow a trumpet. In other words, listen, leave your spears, take your sword and a pitcher and some fire and take a trumpet. I don't even know. The Bible doesn't tell us if they take swords. But we know they take their trumpet. Why? Because they already have the victory. They already have the victory. They already have the victory. Verse 18, when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's all you got to do. Blow the trumpet and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. In other words, there was light because of the light. There was pitchers that were being broken, so there was this racket. And the trumpets were being blown that were in their hands. Then the three companies, now all three companies, blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. The whole army, while they were hearing, only 300 men making this noise. They must have woken up or gotten the biggest fright of their lives. And all of a sudden, they're full of fear because they hear the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. There was probably a rumor and a discussion. Every little corner was talking about this dream that had taken place. Now I want to show you something so powerful. And when 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. The children of Israel did nothing. They stood and watched the enemy kill himself. They stood and watched the enemy defeat himself. When the enemy comes against the plans of the Lord, he will take himself out. He will take himself out. And the army fled to Beth Akeah, towards Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Mahola and Tabith. Man, these are some weird words. And so the story continues, and ultimately what happens is he has a complete victory. He completely and utterly destroys them. In the end, he takes the two princes and ends up killing them both. Gideon's life doesn't go on too much after this. But I want to remind you of one scripture. If we go back to verse 16 of chapter number 2, look at what he says. Remember, he said to him, you mighty man of valor. And then he said this right before he sent him off. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. They didn't have to do anything. The Lord did it all. He fought the battle. He made the enemy turn on himself. Listen, you don't know what's going on. And again, I say, you know, we think, well, you know, they just were all killing each other. Listen, you don't know what's going on in the spirit realm. You don't know what's happening on that battlefield. What armies have been sent out, we don't know. To the point where it was so chaotic that the enemy's actually killing himself. And it all required somebody to believe, to face their fear. No matter how bad the attack is, no matter how hard it gets, if we choose the truth will set us free. I want you to think about that this evening. Because you might be here and you might have fear. You might be facing a fear. You might be facing a situation where your walk with God isn't where it should be. Maybe it is just literally fear. Fear at night, fear of coronavirus, fear of whatever. Fear of masks, fear of no masks, fear one of those things, the vaccines, no fear of vaccines. Listen, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. Do what you got to do, but don't fear. Are you with me? So tonight, I believe God wants to touch people. He wants to set them free from fear. And He wants to set people free. Those of you that are being attacked from all different angles, make a decision to choose the truth. Remember, the children of Israel had to go in the right direction, start doing the right things before it changes. Sometimes we get to that place where we become totally desperate, but it's really our own circumstances, what we allowed to take place, that causes us to get to that place. I believe that God wants to deliver you tonight. Isn't it a powerful word? Isn't it an amazing story? Now you know why Gideon was so mighty. Because in that moment of decision, and he does some pretty mighty stuff after this too, but it all starts with standing up and saying, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Even if the army is so great, even if the challenge is so great, I believe. And I believe it because you said it. You have an entire book of promises. The enemy has no right in your life. Man, I want to say something about tomorrow's sermon so bad. I don't care what curse is on your family. I don't care what's happened in your life. I want you to know you can choose right now and it's all over. Right now, let's bow our heads. Father, we honor you tonight in this place. And we honor your word, Father, because your word is truth. Your word sets us free. Your word brings us healing and deliverance. Your word is so powerful. Father, I remember the story where Jesus stood and he spoke to unbelief and he said, "How long will I have to deal with this perverse generation because of unbelief?" Let us be a church, and I'm not talking about oceans, I'm talking about the body of Christ. Let us be a church, Father, that rises up like Gideon did. That in that moment of decision, Father, where we know what your word says to be truth, and we know that you said what you said, we will stand and choose your truth. Father, tonight I want to come against fear. Don't let us be like the ones who decided to get out of the battle because we're afraid. Decided not to face the conflict because we're afraid. Let us rather stand up, Father, for what is truth. Did you not say in your word that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood? So there is a wrestling match going on in the spirit, because that wrestle is against principalities and powers. But Father, I know that you are with us, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And there is no force in hell that can overcome you, because you are with us. And so I pray this evening in the mighty name of Jesus for every person. Father, do not let them walk out of here with fear. I come against every spirit of fear right now in Jesus' name, and I break your power. I come against every spirit of depression. I break your power. I come against every spirit of inferiority. I break your power. Now in Jesus' name. And I pray for every precious believer in this place, Lord, Father, that you will touch them tonight, that you will deliver in this place, Father, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, for you alone are holy.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.